We're going to turn to God's Word in Psalm 19 this morning. For the amount of time we have, and just want to encourage your heart as has encouraged my heart. And I want you to turn there right now, Psalm 19. We're going to read the 14 verses, and I trust the Lord will bless us as we open His Word this morning. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your awesome word. Thank you for words of truth, words of reliability, words of purity, words that transform lives. But more than that, Heavenly Father, they are your love story to us, your communication to us. You speak loudly through your word because it tells us about your Son, the Lord Jesus. It tells us about the person of the Holy Spirit who empowers us, gives us strength to live each day. Thank you for this revelation of yourself. It is profound. We give you thanks, because it tells us about who you are. Now, as I read this, I was moved and I was really struck by this portion, verses 7 to 11. But then as I got looking a little further into the chapter, I began to realize how this chapter can be broken up quite easily. And in the first six verses, we see something about the world and creation. And then we transition from verses 7 to 11, and we see something about the Word of God and the power and the description of it. And then we have this little section in verses 12 and 13 that talk about sin having dominion over our hearts. So I put on there, don't waste. There's no W in there, but don't waste your life. And then the last verse 14, brings us to worship. So there's a good handle on, you know, Psalm 19, the world, the word, not wasting your life, and then worship. I love creation. It says here that the very first verse, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaim His handiwork. It's very poetic. It mentions the sun and the earth and the world and everything about it, and it just screams out about the glory of God. And I mentioned to a few people coming in this morning, I won't tell any scuba diving stories, but I want to tell you that the 20 years that I was a scuba diver along with Ann, some of the coral reefs we encountered and looked at the beauty that's there, it took into Technicolor any movie I'd ever seen. And I can remember often just praising God, even with my mask and snorkel and my air breather regulator, and just marveling at how beautiful God's creation was, looking at everything moving and swaying. They proclaim the glory of God. Out west last summer, we had an opportunity to be on the beach and watching the sunrise and the sunset. Fantastic, as we see here on Lake Huron sometimes. It just shouts out God's name. Awesome, awesome revelation. A wonder of wonders, from the very smallest creature to the largest, to the mountaintops, the snow peaks, all of it declares God's glory. So often you hear people, "Oh, I was out in the woods and I did this and I just felt so spiritual." Wonderful. Don't worship the creation. The reason they sense some kind of something other is because God made it. He created. So this year, as I began to read my Bible again in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He created. This isn't that he took a bunch of things that he already had and put it together and made something. He created. The Hebrew is bara, out of nothing. Nothing. He created out of nothing. Wonderful. Awesome. Not only is creation and nature a witness to God's glory, but it reminds us about pagan worship. We do not worship the sun. We do not worship the rivers. We do not worship the trees, you know? And this is such a huge movement now. The creation is bringing glory to God. It doesn't say here, worship the sun or the moon or the trees or the earth. Very, very important. But it's a great revelation nevertheless. We must be careful. We must be awestruck by just the beauty of these words, the poetic way that God presents his word to us. I love it. Verse 8, its rising is from the end of the heavens and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. There's nothing hidden from God. So I was struck by that. That wasn't my main portion, but I love creation, and I love what it does, even in just conservation areas and just going along the rivers and into bike trails and walking trails and so on and so forth. And today, one of my resolutions is to get on my bike and go for a bike ride. So, but if it's too cold, I might end up doing a walk. If it's too cold, I end up walking the 12 floors in our apartment, which I do quite often. And when the rec room is closed today, can you imagine? January the 1st, the rec room in our apartment is closed, and it has some fitness equipment there that I love to take advantage of. But what I want to focus on this morning a little bit more thoroughly is verses 7 to 11. And I did this study before in my NIV, so I have the notes written in this NIV. And as you see these verses as we read them, it's really good to read that in other versions. I've read it in about 6-7 different versions, and there's variations in the words, but in the ESV that I read, in verses 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, you see that the law is perfect, the testimony is sure, the precepts are right, the commandment of the Lord is pure, the fear of the Lord is clean, more to be desired than gold, the rules of the Lord are true. Wonderful descriptions. And in the NIV, it talks about perfection, being the word being trustworthy, being right, radiant, pure, and sure. There is no blemish in the Word of God. It's reliable. It's absolute truth. It dispels the darkness. It has great value, and you can be confident in it. It is sure. How could it be anything else? Because it comes from a living, holy God who put it together. God breathed in the existence of creation, but men moved by the Holy Spirit. They used their own skills, their own experience, but they were guided by the Holy Spirit. It's the same idea, the picture of as a sailboat. You know, the sailor directs the boat, but the wind comes along, hits the sail, and takes it across the ocean or the river or the lake. It's the same idea. The Holy Spirit inspired men. It's God-breathed. God's word is God-breathed. It's a wonderful thing. So it comes from a holy God. And you can, if you do nothing this year, take this psalm and couple it with Psalm 119. But you'll notice when you go to that one, it's got 176 verses. But it talks about the precepts of the Lord and the commandments of the Lord, the ordinances of the Lord, the law of the Lord. And it really is a beautiful match. You marry that up with this chapter, with this psalm. It's a beautiful thing. And we read in Psalm 119:18, for instance, "Open my eyes that I may behold the wonderful things from your law." And Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And one other, a couple more verses in Psalm 119:161 says, "My heart stands in awe of thy words." Psalm 119:161. And Psalm 119:165 says, "Those who love thy law have great peace." You have peace this morning? Paul said it very well, didn't he? In Philippians 3, forgetting the things of the past and looking forward to the things ahead. We all perhaps have some regrets from 2016. I don't know what God has put your way these last 12 months. But here we are, new year. Time for the resolutions to come out, right? And every year I have this file. It's called evaluation. It's got about 35 questions I ask myself. Well, am I making progress in my Christian life? Am I growing spiritually? And Don Whitney, he has an article called 10 Questions to Ask to Make Sure You're Still Growing. And he says, are you more like Jesus than you were a year ago? Good question. Are you more like Jesus than you were a year ago? And I'll just read the opening paragraph of this article. I won't read the whole thing, but I think it fits in quite nicely. And it says, one of the early explorers to the North Pole charted his journey hourly to ensure that he stayed on course through the white wasteland. At one point, a strange phenomenon began to occur. As he checked his position, his instruments indicated that even though he had been moving northward, he was actually farther south than he had been an hour before. Regardless of the speed at which he walked in the direction of the pole, he continued to get farther from it. Finally, he discovered that he had ventured onto an enormous iceberg that was drifting in one direction as he was walking in the other. There is a world of difference between activity and progress. So there he is. It's like the old treadmill, right? He's chucking along, right? I got to be closer now, and he's further from his destination. Now, it happened to me once. I was scuba diving in Lake Ontario, Lake Erie, or Lake Huron, a little shallow shipwreck. And we went and did our little dive, and we came up, and the fog had come in. And we're in a little 12, 14-foot rowboat that we rented from the natives in Kettle Point. And I think it was $2. Charged us $2. That's going back a while, right? You know, the boat's out there, go ahead, you know, if it still floats, you can use it. You know, it didn't matter to those guys, you know, they're so wonderful. We had a great relationship with them. But when we dove the little shallow wreck, we got up and, whew, fog, okay, no problem. Like, we're maybe from here to maybe, if you know where Gary Bauman lives, you know, from the shore, which isn't very far, just down the road, or maybe, you know, the Shatzlers now living down the hill here, wasn't very far. But as we got up and threw our equipment in the rowboat, and going back to shore, and I can't remember all the details, but I know it was two or three of us. I think Anne was with us. She was in the boat quite often with us. And it's two or three of us, and okay, we're going back to shore. And I'm going, hey, it's that way. No, no. So we're arguing in a boat. No, I think it's this way. Well, I don't know. I know it's, you know, like you could snorkel to it, but couldn't see anything. You know, it was a spooky feeling. And it's the same idea, you know. Maybe you're just adrift out there. Maybe you've lost direction. But I really want us to challenge ourselves. Well, how can we grow spiritually? And what kind of progress can we make? It only happens with the Word of God. And this is why I really enjoy the idea of the Bible readings at the beginning of the year. And I've mentioned a few times, and this is not in any way boasting, but this is to give God the glory, okay? But back in 1985, 1986, Ann and I both started reading the Bible through because somebody had challenged us in the church. You got to read your Bibles, you know? It was a widow, actually. She's gone to be with Jesus now. And she was in her 80s, I'm sure, back then. And she got up there and says, people are not reading their Bibles, you know? I said, yeah, what's she know? I've read it, you know? Like, don't, you know? But we took the challenge, and we started in 1985, somewhere in there, and we've read the Bible through every year since. So I don't know, it's 30-some-odd years now. It's never gotten stale. We've done all kinds of different versions. We've shared things. We come back to our favorite ones every 2 years and so on. And so I just decided last night on my Bible version, it's different again than anyone I've ever done. But God's Word exposes shallow beliefs and appoints us to Christ. And he is the center. That's why we read the Bible. It's not because we want you to be, you know, knowledgeable. We do. We want you to hear from Christ himself. And one of our values that we have put forward as elders, as we work through our values and our goals and so on, one is word-centered. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So here we see a great presentation of the Word of God. Verses 12 and 13, we see this idea of that we need to be repentant believers as we enter in and read the Word. We pray that God will forgive us of our sins. We know he will. But he's talking here in verse 13 about presumptuous sins, willful or arrogant or disregard for God's word, and where you have sin in your life. You need to have a clean, holy life. And by opening the word, this is what it does. It sheds the spotlight of God's word in your heart. And you need to go to like Psalm 51, which talks about creating me a clean heart. It's David's repentant heart. And then it leads us to worship. And this will lead into our communion time this morning. I have much more I could share. I have enough here for about 10 messages, I think. But I want to share a couple of things just before we go to the Lord's table and as we talk about worship. Hebrews 4:12 is a very foundational verse when it comes to the Bible reading. It says the word of God is living, active, sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and spirit, judging or discerning all the thoughts and intentions of the heart. People do not read their Bible because the Bible sheds light on their sinful hearts, and it tells them that there's something wrong, something lacking. And even non-believers that I approach, well, many errors in the Bible. I said, well, could you show me some? Can you show me some? And most times they haven't even read the Bible. And I think I'm speaking to believers for the most part here this morning. And I think that we should take up the challenge. Wouldn't it be exciting to be all reading through the Bible through this year and to just be sharing, hey, what Bible verse are you reading? You know, what version are you reading? You know, what is God telling you today, you know? And that would be awesome. That would be my prayer. Psalm 119:89 is a very crucial verse when it comes to the word. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I love that. Psalm 119:11 says, the word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. And the one I mentioned earlier, Psalm 119:105, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But there's a lot more to it. I want to just give you these words because they have shaped my life in these 45 years that I've been working through, and I have a sheet that lists some of these verses, and I use them to examine my own heart, my own life, and to plot my own progress in the spiritual walk. And Isaiah 40, verse 8, that says that the word of God stands forever. You know, the grass and the flowers, they wither away, but my word will last forever. But Isaiah 55, verse 11 says, the word will accomplish all that God intended. That's a paraphrase. You need to look it up. My word will not return unto me void. So whenever you implant the word of God in your own heart, it will accomplish something. And I'm excited about that. Even Jesus in the gospel, Matthew 24, 35, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. That's Matthew 24, 35. Is the word important or what? And of course, Colossians tells us that the word of God dwell in you. It brings peace. And you know, Psalm 119, 161, that I mentioned earlier, we have reverence for the word. Tremble at his word. He speaks and he thunders in many ways in the Old Testament. He did that with Job as I was studying Job for the last few years. And Job 38, the voice of the Lord came and it thundered. It thundered. Psalm 29 talks about the voice of the Lord being powerful and strong. The Lord speaks. He speaks in creation, but he speaks to us in his word. Nothing in the world compares to the Bible, God's word. It has eternal benefits. So what's our response? Why read the Bible? What is our response to it? We believe it. We honor it. We love it. We obey it. We guard it. We fight for it. We preach it and we study it. We don't worship the Bible. It's a book. I'm thankful for it. We believe it, we honor it, we love it, we obey it, we guard it, we fight for it, we preach it, we study it. One of my favorite Bible verses, it's kind of a lifetime verse for me, but I put it in front here so I wouldn't forget. I know it by heart. You're all wondering if I could do it, right? Okay, Psalm 27, verse 4. It's one thing if I desire the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to seek him in his temple. It's a little different version. When I was at Cape and Ray Bible School, one of the students, I mentioned it a few times, and somehow she snapped a picture of us somewhere along the line, gave me a bookmark with that verse on it, and it's a little different version than what I'm used to. Wonderful thing. Word of God. Do you have a life verse? I'm going to conclude this morning, so much more I could say, but I'm going to conclude this morning with verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight.